Let's roll in the NFL music, Shippy, and start taking a look at the games. And let's jump in with the Titans beating the Falcons 24-10. Now, I want to get to some audio. This was from Rex Chapman's Twitter account. This is where I first saw this. And his Twitter account, it's hit or miss.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of the best stuff on the internet he posts, but he also posts a lot of like video clips of people dying.
It's a shout out It's a shout out to another guy who went to Kentucky. Antoine Walker does a lot of volume shooting.
Yes.
So Rex Chapman just floods his Twitter account with stuff, and then we can decide if we like it or not.
Well, this is the Falcons lost this game 24-10. I believe this is at halftime. Players are running in to the locker room at halftime, and somehow a fan gained access to the area in the tunnel. And there's video of it. And he's just blasting the players. And security's not doing anything because I guess he's allowed to be there. Take a listen.
So what you do? Hey, tighten up. Oh, you tighten up. Hey, Harris. Matt. Hey, man. Oh, y'all tighten up. What y'all doing out there? Sean, we might need you. Come, Matt playing like some doo-doo. Hey, y'all tighten up, man. Straight up. It's the fourth game. Sanu, hey, Mr. Consistent, I see you, big dog. Hey, Sanu the big real. Hey, Matt, tighten up, homie. Hey, I need y'all to get in the game. Get your ass in the game. Duke, don't be looking back at me. I'll come back there, hey. I'll tackle right.
So,
I'll
but did he just challenge somebody?
Yeah, oh, yeah. So, there may be 15 feet from him.
Uh-huh.
And they're all walking by, and they walk by him, and then they take
a
little turn. He's screaming at them. Like we're in the same room right here. I mean, there's no other fans around, so it's not like it's just one guy yelling, and they're hearing every word.
And
some of them are turning around, looking at him like, this dude's crazy.
So he has. It sounds like, I haven't seen the video, but it sounds like there's a couple of his boys with him that are kind of laughing.
Yeah,
there.
Some people are laughing.
It sounds like it's just one of these dudes. Barbers got a pass to go down there. Like, because sometimes think about some of the weird people we'll see down on the event level of the Cowboy Stadium, of AT&T Stadium. You're like, what is that person doing right there? Sometimes they're friends of somebody important. And that important person is off somewhere and doesn't realize that they're doing horrible things on their tab.
All right, so question. Are the Falcons in trouble?
Yeah, man, they suck.
1-3, they threw the ball 53 times. He got sacked 5 times. He doesn't look the same.
No.
Again, Julio was 4 catches yesterday. Calvin Ridley's had 3 catches, but it's just kind of he's gone away the last 2 weeks. They're broken, man. That's a broken team, and I don't think that fixes because their defense has always been kind of like decent, but they haven't been able to cover.
Right.
A.J. Brown, rookie wide receiver for the Titans, had 2 touchdown catches in the first quarter. And they're sitting there going, okay, well, they're behind. They can't catch up. So, yeah, they're doomed.
Okay, now one of their huge problems last year was red zone issues. I haven't seen if that's the case, but when you look down, you see this team only scored 10 points.
Yeah.
I mean, man, that's kind of ridiculous. And by the way, it's the same roller coaster. Now, Jameis has had some bigger games. But if you just look it out of box, that looks like a winning quarterback in Mariota yesterday. Threw for 3 touchdowns. Henry ran for over 100 yards.
They gave it to Derrick Henry 27 times.
That's
they were playing from ahead the whole game.
Yeah. So there you go, man. The Falcons look like they are fading fast.
Let's move on to the Cleveland Browns of Cleveland getting a big win. Let's go to Cleveland. 40-25 over the Ravens. Baker Mayfield throws for 342 yards, but this was story of a Chubb. Nick Chubb was incredible. 20 carries, 165 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, Chubb ran hard. We all knew that it was ridiculous to early in the season, you know, write off the Browns. They new coach, all this stuff, high expectations. They got to settle in. But if you just kind of glance down at the way that division's unfolding, that was a monster early season win for them.
Yeah.
Monster early season. The Ravens had been putting up a ton of points. Cleveland to go in there, run up the score the way that they did. Even things in the division. When you have 2 teams in a division, like this is the same thing with Philadelphia and Dallas. When you have 2 teams in a division that are light years ahead of the other 2 teams, those head-to-head matchups are beyond critical.
Well, I walked away from yesterday, this is my whole NFL takeaway, as I go, man, the AFC is just not that great.
It's not.
That's the way I walked away from it. This game was 10-7 at the half.
Uh-huh.
And Baker, I'm telling you, man, he makes the most horrible decisions sometimes.
That's,
I mean, he just makes some bad throws.
He's going to be that. I think he's inherently going to be that guy.
I absolutely think so. But I
you got to live with it.
I feel much I have less optimism for the Ravens than I did after the first 2 weeks.
Odell Beckham Jr. had zero catches through three quarters for the first time in his career.
Wow.
Yeah, two for 20 yesterday for him.
You wanted to underscore what KT is saying about what this game tells you about the AFC? There are three teams in the AFC that have a better than 500 record. Three. In the entire
New England and
Buffalo.
Buffalo.
And Buffalo's not good. Well, I mean, at least their offense sucks.
Let's move on to that game as New England did move to 4-0, beating Buffalo 16-10. Despite the incredible efforts of Cole Beasley, 7 receptions, 75 yards. Now, they targeted him 13 times. I was watching this game late, and it looked like the same old Cole Beasley. Like, he was getting open. They were getting the ball, and, you know, it was short gain, short gain, short gain. But it looked like the same guy.
Yeah, and so, I mean, the end of that game, things kind of changed because Barkley had to go into the game, and he is so bad. But Josh Allen threw 3 interceptions in this game. And in fact, one of New England's scores was a block punt for a touchdown. New England did not move the ball. Buffalo's defense is awesome. But Buffalo can't score. If you're going to score 10 points at home, they had 3 interceptions. And man, they made the decision late in the game. They were down 6. And they are down there. This is actually early in the fourth quarter. They're down 6, and they go for the touchdown on fourth down instead of taking the sure 3 because they knew they weren't going to get back down there and have another chance at a field goal. That's really ballsy at home. I mean, whatever. New England got up 13-0, and then Buffalo put the clamps down.
God, and again, you get back to this thing where Brady has more Super Bowl MVPs than he has losses to the Bills.
Incredible.
I mean, dude, you don't want to take anything away from that franchise, but part of their greatness is having 3 crappy teams to beat up on for the majority of it.
That's a part of it, but they've done so much that you can't use that.
Right.
And I'll say this. The big story of yesterday's game is there were no UFOs flown onto the field, or no reported UFOs flown onto the field. There was no sex toys thrown on the field. Normally, it's been a tradition over the last 3 years. Now, Josh Allen got hurt. I mean, just got punished on a hit.
Hardcore.
Where he got hit on the front end of the head, and then the side of his head hit the ground. And then I was like, who's the backup? Oh, my God, Matt Barkley?
Yeah.
And it was as bad as you guys might imagine. It was so bad.
I mean, in fairness, Barkley came in, and his first throw was a beautiful throw down the sideline to pick up a huge first down.
Mm-hmm.
They had to have it, and he made the throw. But that's another reason why they went for it down there. They knew Barkley wasn't going to move the ball.
Yeah. Guys, from the 817, going back to the previous game, we just broke down one of our listeners saying what happened with the dust-up with the Baltimore in the locker room. So apparently, after Cleveland beat Baltimore 40-25, Earl Thomas got into it with one of his teammates over the fact that their defense gave up 530 yards. 530 yards, and it was defensive tackle Brandon Williams, who I believe was inactive. And so you can only assume that it was a guy who was inactive saying, hey, man, why did y'all give up all that? Or is it Earl Thomas going, dude, get your ass out on the field.
Tighten up.
I think Earl's the kind of guy that'll walk up and start yelling at a wall because it'll – he can at least feel like the wall's listening to him.
All right.
I think Earl's an emotional man.
Let's move over to the other undefeated team. The Kansas City Chiefs beat the Detroit Lions 34-30. Unbelievably a close game.
Dude, they had to come back and do that, too. I guess we need to pay more attention to the Lions.
Choppy and Kavanaugh are the only two people who called the Lions being sneaky good. You know, they're 2-1-1. Okay, so.
But their loss is to Kansas City.
Yeah, and their ties to the Cardinals.
That's a good point.
So, I mean, I don't know what to think.
That's a good point.
Who else did they go beat that was really good?
I think the Chargers are good.
Are they? I mean, I don't know.
They're going to end up.
The Chargers played a tight game with the Dolphins yesterday. So, I just don't.
I
need more
10.
Time before I'm like, hey, guys, look out for the Lions. But
yeah,
credit where credit's due right there. And the big play there is Kerryon Johnson has a carry at the 1 yard line and he fumbles and the Chiefs take it back for 99 yards. I mean, that's a 14-point swing, and you can't do that with Pat Mahomes. That was one of Pat Mahomes' worst games, and he was still awesome.
All right.
Okay. I mean, he threw 315 yards, and it was still one of his worst games. He didn't have a touchdown pass.
Last game to get to in part one of Around the NFL, let's go ahead and talk about the Raiders beating the Colts. This is a surprising outcome. Really didn't think that the Raiders had it in them, and I thought the Colts were – a little bit better than everybody thought. Raiders Vontaze Burfict suspended for the rest of the season for a helmet-to-helmet hit. This was on Colts tight end Jack Doyle. He was ejected in the second quarter when it happened, and he is not going to be paid during the suspension, which covers the entire postseason as well.
He's a clown and needs to be out of the league. I mean, Doyle was on the ground. All you had to do was come touch him, and he came flying in at his head. And then runs off the field, helmet off, smiling and waving at Colts fans like, look what I did. I'm sorry, dude. He's a clown. He needs to be out of the league forever.
Okay, this is at Field Yates on the Twitters. So Burfict has been suspended four times for a total of 22 games, costing him $4.6 million in salary, and been fined nine other times, totaling almost $500,000. Over $5 million lost for unacceptable on-field actions.
What? He can't be out there. He's reckless.
Dude, why?
It's like letting a drunk guy just go, continue to. It's like he's the guy that's got eight DWIs, basically.
But here's what I don't understand.
How's this guy still on the road?
I don't understand how the Players Association allows it. Like, you know, it's a weird deal. They're supposed to get everybody's back. But why do the guys in the league find this acceptable?
I don't know.
This is a guy just turning on his own. This is the old proverbial thing about eating your children. What is this guy doing?
Some real bad Jacoby Brissett throws yesterday, guys. I mean, real bad. Like, oh my God. Like, oh my God, he thought that was the guy that was open? It was like one of those things.
Yeah, he was 24 for 46 on the day for 265, three touchdowns, one interception. But when you look at their receivers, like their leading receiver, it's kind of, there's not really a lot there. Is there Zach Pascal was their leading receiver?
Backup tight end.
Ebron had, it was their second best. He had one catch for 48 yards. Chester Rogers, three for 48.
The fourth Rogers boy.
Well, T.Y. Hilton was out yesterday, and I think that totally affects that offense in a big way when he's gone, because
yeah,
they just throw it to him every time they're in the red zone. But yeah, the Brissett was kind of on the climb for me, and then I got to see a lot of that game because it was on red zone. I was like, oh my God.
I have these
all over the place.
I really couldn't tell you much about that Raiders defense, like what they're rolling out.
Well, not Burfict anymore.
Yeah, he won't be rolling
I'll
out.
I'll tell you that.
Coming up next, we'll get back into the Cowboys game. If you want to weigh in, you're welcome to call in 877-881-1053 and tell us what you're thinking. Or you can text us what you're thinking, 877-881-1053 in the Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. We're talking Dallas Cowboys football on an overreaction Monday. They lose to the Saints 12-10. We'll continue breaking down the game with you. And then Stephen Jones coming up at noon. You don't want to miss that here on 105.3 The Fan.
All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. We are breaking down a Cowboys L, the first one of the season. They lose at Nolens, 12-10, a low-scoring affair. And for all the dissatisfaction and unhappiness from Cowboys Nation about what transpired last night, that score should tell you a really positive part of the story, and that's that the defense was really, really good. They only gave up 12 points, four field goals, and keep in mind that two of those drives started at midfield because of turnovers. So the defense stepped up and really performed at a high level and been one of the first places to start. I mean, he is an unbelievable edge pass rusher. Robert Quinn has so much burst coming off that edge. Lord have mercy, is he doing a good job of getting at that quarterback?
He looks like he shot out of a cannon as soon as the ball is snapped, and he looks like the best edge rusher in the league, honestly.
Crazy.
I mean, he definitely looks like the best edge rusher on the Dallas Cowboys, and yeah, the bend is just incredible. He's able to get around that corner and get to the quarterback. He caused a hell of a lot of problems, which you'd have to think over time, that's really going to help out DeMarcus Lawrence. But yeah, man, Robert Quinn was the biggest positive in this game for the Dallas Cowboys.
And the offensive lineman that he was going up against all night was Terron Armstead.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember watching tape on him a few years ago. The thing I remember about him the most, and he was a late round guy, he was an Arkansas Pine Bluff guy. But the thing I remember about him is he wasn't one of those like powerful, like, offensive tackles. He was one of those kind of guys who were more athletic.
Like Connor.
Able to handle the faster guys,
yeah.
Things like that. And so that's what's real impressive. He's doing that to a guy who's kind of specializes in blocking speed guys.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. So,
and
I mean, it was all night. It was all night. He was whipping his butt all night long.
Robert Quinn's sack dance kind of indicates, too, why he's able to do the things he does. because that looked like just one of those promotional wet balloon dudes, you know, that are outside car dealerships or just flapping in the wind everywhere.
Okay, I thought he was doing like a snake charmer thing.
That's probably a little bit it. Maybe he kind of ran like a salamander. I couldn't remember. So did Marinelli call Tank the salamander and Robert Quinn the snake, or do I have that reversed?
He called Robert Quinn the snake.
Okay, and he called Tank the salamander.
Yeah.
Because I thought Des called him the snake.
No, Des said he can get the snake. There was sort of a salamander dance, but it does have a snake charmer vibe to it, too. Mm. Whatever it was absolutely impressive. Let's talk about an interception finally happened, and it was a very athletic play that Cheeto made to get that interception. So now that it has been made, is the levee about to break?
I hope so. I mean, it's so bizarre seeing the Cowboys get an interception. I mean, they have to be among the worst in football at that, right?
They don't even seem near them.
Right. It's like the closest they get to one is like it hitting Jeff Heath in the helmet. It's right. So the next week he comes out, he's looking for the ball, and there's a horrific collision with Allen Hurns. So it was an incredibly athletic play. Ted Ginn Jr. should have caught the ball. The ball's bouncing around, and then, you know, I was happy that Cheeto got it. Again, Cheeto got victimized a couple times, and you're just like, damn, his coverage is really good. It's just there's a tiny window there that they just sneak the ball through.
And you know what? I mean, we've seen it and for a full game. Teddy Bridgewater is very accurate. He makes some good throws. Now, he didn't really challenge him downfield. And when you step back and you look at the offensive totals, even though he completed 23 passes, it was for under 200 yards. There was no big run attack. I mean, for the most part, you know, they all added up. All their carries was 117 yards. Kamara didn't kill you, but he had some incredible runs. But the Cowboys kept everything in front of them for the most part. There was no big plays that really hurt him.
I think these two teams are very close. But obviously, with the home field advantage, the Saints made the most of that. I think we can talk about game plan all day long, but ultimately, the Saints defensive line beat the Cowboys offensive line, and then probably a little bit the other direction. It wasn't terrible, the Cowboys defensive line getting destroyed. Where this game, the biggest difference to me was, you know, Michael Thomas was targeted 9 times. He had 9 catches. Mm-hmm. So 9 catches, 95 yards. It wasn't like he lit them up, right. But the Cowboys couldn't stop Michael Thomas. Meanwhile, Lattimore put absolute clamps on Amari Cooper. And so Cowboys receivers weren't getting open. It was like, hey, they dared the Cowboys. They said, hey, we're going to take Cooper completely out of the game. Go beat us with somebody else. And you could say it's the difference. Michael Gallup not being there. They don't have enough depth. He didn't have enough time in the pocket. Whatever you want to say. But the Saints defense just went out and beat the hell out of the Cowboys.
They did. And the, you know, as you step back and look at all this and go, okay, where could we have won this game or not won this game? Obviously, the Saints are going to look at it and go, man, we're lucky to have won that game with all the penalties we had. And the Cowboys are going to step back and go, look at all the opportunities that we missed. But the number one thing I'm interested in learning from Broadus and some of these guys when they go back and watch it, were there opportunities down the field that the Cowboys simply missed? Or are these guys unopened? And it does make you worry a little bit about Amari Cooper when 2 of his catches were negated by his own offensive pass interferences. He was clamped down, and we know that he got an MRI Friday. So is that something to worry about?
I'm a little nervous about it because there were a couple times during the game where it looked like he might have been limping on it just a little bit. But, I mean, if that's what it is and he's just got an ankle and a foot, you know, issue – I know the ankle's the other foot than his foot injury that was plaguing him through training camp. But there was a couple times where he could kind of see him walking on it tenderly. So I'm a little nervous about that. But all of this, you got to give the Saints credit. Jerry said that after the game. The Saints deserve a lot of credit here.
Yeah.
That is a good defense. And I think people were talking about because they got passed on by the Rams game? Yeah, the Rams put up a pretty good score on them. I think everyone's going, oh, he can throw on them. The Seahawks threw on them for like 450 yards, but dude, they were up by 2 touchdowns. The Seahawks were just driving down the field in garbage time. None of those throws even mattered. They were just playing street football.
Dude, that Rams game.
All those numbers, we start to look at that. You start to look at the personnel that the Saints have, and you go, okay, they do have a true cornerback one who's been inconsistent. But Marshon Lattimore is an awesome player.
Broadus said this on Friday. He goes, you know, one of the reasons all those splash plays have happened against him, Deshaun Watson, Jared Goff, and Russell Wilson. And so and hey, and then so then you sit there and go, well, wait, shouldn't Dak have been able to be there right with those guys? The circumstances of that Rams game, remember, New Orleans ran a fumble back for a touchdown and it got called back. That would have changed the dynamic of that game tremendously. So the Saints are, you know, they step back and they look at it. They're in much better shape than I think people are giving them credit for. They're one of the top crest teams in the NFC.
Dude, the Saints held the ball for 12 more minutes than the Cowboys. They won time of possession. And wow. It wasn't always just running the ball. It's all those short passes, man.
Yeah.
All those short passes and, God, even, you know, Taysom Hill getting into the mix and doing, I mean, it was just a well-called game. And they shot themselves in the foot a little bit too. Again, if the Saints hadn't committed all those penalties, I think they probably would have beat the Cowboys by a larger margin.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, the Cowboys were there. It was, I mean, what a great stop! You know, the sack by Jalen Smith and the perfect play call. They were in a wonderful opportunity. And then Dak gets the sack. Tyron Smith gets hurt. It was kind of like, dude, it was amazing that they had the long completion to Randall Cobb after that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt for a minute like Cobb was just streaking down the middle of the field, down the seam. When he caught that ball, I thought there was a chance he was just going to go the whole way.
It did look like it for a second.
Just looked like he was running without anyone else on the field for a second.
I was sitting there going, man, what do we have to get to? Because I was thinking from where you were, you had to get to the – I was thinking 60 is probably about Maher's limit there. So you had to get to the Saints' 43-yard line. And then when, you know, Cobb got tackled, they spiked the ball with there were 4 seconds left. I was sitting there going, okay, so if you do the math here, it's about a 70-yarder. Maybe it's a 69-yarder. What are you more likely to get?
Right.
A 69-yard field goal?
Inside?
Or a Hail Mary?
I think you're more likely to try to the 69-yarder.
Agreed.
Think about that, what we've been talking about, but that Cobb play. So you had that, and you had the Jarwin touchdown. Those are the only two passes basically completed over 30 yards.
The 35-yard gain.
Yeah,
the Jarwin.
35, 32. Look at the other longs for the other receivers on the Cowboys. Basically, Cooper had a 14-yarder. Witten had a 16-yarder. Tavon had a 5-yarder. All that down-the-field stuff that we thought was going to be there wasn't there.
The OPI killed it.
And whether it was, guys simply weren't open or the pass rush was too good or whatever, we'll get better breakdowns as the week goes on.
Their pass rush was really good.
We all thought that would be a component of the game. Ben, you mentioned Jalen Smith. So we've been talking about Jalen a little bit the last couple weeks. Pretty damn solid game from him. He certainly jumped off your screen last
night. Yeah, he did. And it was right after there's all that talk about him being done, right? Mm-hmm. He kind of needed that. And Van Der Esch was incredible.
Yeah, he was Leighton really was, good.
Boy, he was so good last
dude,
night.
Dude, and it was toe-to-toe with Kamara. And I would tend to take Kamara in any matchup with anyone in the league one-on-one.
Yeah.
And Van Der Esch crushed him.
You know, the Jalen Smith sack that I think, you know, at the end of the game or towards the end of the game, man, Kerry Hyder deserves a little bit of credit. And I think he's a guy who gets lost in the sauce and we don't talk about very often. But he obliterated two guys and then Teddy had to spin out because Kerry Hyder was about to swallow him. And he spun out and Jalen ended up getting credit for the sack. So I got some Cowboys defensive numbers real quick. Through 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Fourth in scoring defense. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have told you guys, hey guys, Cowboys Saints, a palm reader told me that the Saints aren't going to score a touchdown. And you guys would have been like, well, what else did they say when they read your palms? But you guys would have been feeling good about it.
Yeah.
And you also would have been asking for the address to go see this palm reader and maybe asking about the rate that it costs.
Oh,
how much
should
I pay?
I would have too.
Ninth in yards per play, and they are eighth in percentage of drives that end up in a score.
Lower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
those are
all good. They're top 10 teams.
Top 10 and 4 critical categories.
You go to takeaways, though, and that's where you sit there and go, where are you? And they are 22nd with 4.
So what do we have? A fumble recovery, an intercept. I guess there's been 3 fumble recoveries.
Yeah, and 2 in a row, you could say, kind of lucky. The Cheeto thing was lucky. Well, the luck, hey. You get some sometimes thrown at you, so sometimes it is.
I was an athletic player,
so you don't
Cheeto.
Like. You know, I'm not like apologizing for it.
Yeah,
but even Jalen admitted that the Dolphins fumble was kind of a little bit of luck.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of got his paw in after he got juked. He got his paw in and got it a little bit of luck. But that's the difference. That is the difference in this team because every other metric you go look at is just 4 weeks, and the takeaways have to start happening and. That's where, again, Jason's got any type of thing that he needs to go. If he needs to explain what happened last night, and go, well, if we don't turn the ball over, we win the game. And it's true. If they don't turn, they don't fumble those two times, they win the game.
All right, you're a quarter of a way through the season. What do you think the Cowboys' biggest need is? If the draft was tomorrow or free agency started tomorrow.
I'm dying to have some big, giant Mama Jumbo inside defensive tackle.
Agreed.
I think Malik Collins has been great. By the way.
Malik was awesome yesterday. Malik was great.
I don't understand. It's one of the maybe three or four things in sports I understand the least. How do you line up in the neutral zone? Just look down. Look down. Where's the ball? Don't put your hand or your helmet over it. How do you line up in the neutral zone? It is the dumbest penalty in sports. And he had a great game, but it happened at such an inopportune time. See where you are? Go 4 inches backwards.
Is that right before the
half? Stop doing that!
Right before the half?
That was in the second half, right?
In the second half? I thought it was right before the first half.
It kept a drive going. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I'm just like, I don't understand.
You're talking about a one technique, right? You're talking about just a big, giant run stuffer.
Yes.
Like somebody in the middle that's impossible to move. Like what the Saints had.
Yeah.
I mean, you watch, it was a brick wall. There's nowhere to run up the middle. You just want something like that stuff to run.
By the way, Sue is having an incredible start in Tampa. Did you guys realize that?
I had a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, I would say I'm starting to think now after one game of data that they need another receiver. And I don't know if it's all fixed with Gallup there. I don't know if Amari's compromised or is this who Amari is, but... They basically, the Saints basically said, we're taking Amari out of the game. Let's see if your other receivers can beat us, and nobody could get open.
Yeah, okay, let's do this. Ben, just a second ago, threw out a number that had a huge impact on this game because Travis Frederick alluded to it as well. What is that number? We'll break it down for you next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. All right, Ben, let's do a little deeper dive, and we'd love to hear your thoughts on it as well, 877-881-1053, if you'd like to text in on the Autoflix Leasing Fan Text. But you just threw out the number in the last segment. The time of possession difference was 12 minutes in favor of New Orleans. And when we had Travis Frederick on earlier, he talked about this team having never gotten into a rhythm in this game. And so as I was sitting here trying to figure out why did this offensive approach seem so different? I think we all felt like it was different and they were more conservative. The Cowboys, even though they've put up big offensive numbers in the first three games, they haven't gotten off to great starts rhythmically. And, you know, they did eventually start putting up points. And if you go and look at those games, they'll have like, once they get to their second or third drive, they'll have four consecutive scoring drives. But it's not like they're coming right out the gates and setting it on fire. And so I wonder, as they were evaluating all of this and going, all right, it's going to be loud in there. We don't want to put the same stuff on tape over and over. We think we can win this way and we'll establish the run and all that. Maybe it'll get us a rhythm. If they decided that was the way they're going to try to get an early rhythm, and then they didn't get an early rhythm, and then the parts in the game where they normally start getting their rhythm, they started having a couple turnovers, and then everything got thrown out of whack. And then you pointed out earlier, by the time the Cowboys had that great drive in the third quarter, but that was their only drive of the third quarter because the Saints did hold on to the ball so long to start. And in the drive after that, the Cowboys, I think, were trying to create some rhythm early and it failed. And we totally saw it in the fact that they ran the ball so much on first down. 70% of the time they ran the ball on first down in the first half. And that's not what they had been doing at all.
Yeah. The time of possession story is significant in this game. And if you look at it by quarter, in the third quarter, New Orleans had the ball for 9 minutes and 16 seconds. The Cowboys had it for 5 minutes and 44 seconds. In the fourth quarter, New Orleans had it for 9:37. The Cowboys for 5:23.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the second half alone, that's 19 to 11 in time of possession. And then obviously for the game, 36-24. And there's two drives in particular that I think tell this story. One that went the Saints' way and one that did not go the Cowboys' way. The one that went the Saints' way was the nine-minute drive they had. A nine-minute drive. 9 minutes and 6 seconds. They start the ball on their own 25. They go. They net 62 yards. They go 67 yards. They had a penalty. And they get a field goal. All right? So they get all the way to the Dallas 8, and they get a field goal.
Mm-hmm.
But that took up 9 minutes of the game. Then you go to the Cowboys, the exact opposite was their next to last drive. You know, they get backed up all the way to their 10 and they go three and out.
Yep.
That was devastating. And, you know, in a close game,
yeah,
without a lot of possessions, I mean, really, if you look at it, Cowboys had the ball 9 times. They went punt, field goal, punt, fumble, fumble,
mm-hmm,
into halftime. Then they had a touchdown, third quarter magic once, mm-hmm, again. And then it's punt, punt, interception. You know, yeah, Hail Mary.
And those have been those two punts in the fourth quarter. Those are short drives. And I think once the Saints, you pointed out that Saints drive, that effectively took all the life out of the Cowboys after they had established rhythm for the first time. That drive in the third quarter was perfection. It's what we've come to see. And you know what it was? It was the first drive out of halftime where they went back in there and said, all right, we need to do this, this, and this to get it going. And then they got it going. And then that 9-minute drive for the Saints was paramount for them. And then the Cowboys didn't have any rhythm going after that. That was a rhythmless game for them. And I think that they were trying to manufacture some early rhythm by trying things a different way. Maybe they don't think they were trying to do some things a different way. Let's listen to Jason Garrett. Earlier today, Sean and RJ asked him about why were the Cowboys running the ball so often on first down early in this game?
Yeah, again, I don't know that I fully agree with that. You know, we try to be balanced throughout. You want to attack different ways. You certainly don't want to be a team that just throws the ball every first down. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be a team that runs the ball every first down. And again, I thought we did a good job mixing it. And I think the biggest thing is when we've had some success earlier on, we've made some third down conversions. We've been awfully good the first three games, and that gives you more opportunities to do both. And we just didn't do that consistently well enough last night.
All right, so he's going back to it's an execution thing, but here are the numbers that he doesn't agree with. They had 10 first downs in the first half, and they ran on 7 of those for an average 2.1 yards per carry and a 14% success rate. If we go back to the conversations we've been having over the last 3 weeks, it's look at what the Cowboys are doing differently on first down. Look at how they're approaching things differently. There could be valid reasons as to why they approached it the way that they did, but that game in the first half, they looked like the team of last year, and the success rate mirrors the team of last year. It does not mirror what's been done in these first three games. A lot more goes into it. New Orleans defense was good and all those things, but they never established any rhythm because they were having 2-yard first down plays in the first half, and then they ended the half with back-to-back fumbles.
And if you want to argue about deeper stats and all that stuff, that's fine. I guess let's just go simple numbers then, because I think if this is something no one can argue with. Here are the Cowboys' longest plays. There's Jarwin for 35, Cobb for 32. They were all passes, besides the Dak run that got 15 added on because of the personal foul.
Yeah.
Which, by the way,
lucky.
Where were the designed runs yesterday? See any of that? Did you guys see any RPO action yesterday?
Mm-mm.
No, you absolutely didn't. I just, look, to me, again, it's easy for me to sit here behind a microphone and say this is what happened because I have no idea. But guys, there's smoke and there's fire. What do you think happened yesterday? Garrett dictated the game plan. It's pretty simple.
I like
Look
that.
At it.
I like that because I'm a coach killer.
That's what the game was.
But I
it was
really
his offense.
I really feel like they just got beat. You know, and if it's I like that theory though, and I'm willing to be entertained by it, and maybe there is something to it, and I would love to know more about it, but the reality is if they have the ball 9 times and 3 times are they're 3 and out, they don't really have a chance to find a rhythm. Now, I do think there is something to this crap of running the ball so much on first down, and maybe that's as simple as it is. Let's establish the run. And, Skin, you brought up multiple reasons. Maybe it's because the noise, they want to keep it simple, or you know, maybe it is the chess match down the road. They don't want to show too much, but you know, if they had just not been so over-the-top committed to the run, this could have been a different game. Mm-hmm. There was no need to keep forcing the run. Like, I like what they've done to this point this year. Obviously, every Cowboy fan does, putting up over 30 points a game. But it seems like the pass has set up the run. And they went back to their old ways of let's try to get the run to set up the pass. And it just wasn't there. But we all knew it wasn't there.
You can do play action anytime. You don't have to establish a run. There's any sets of numbers that are going to support that. And there wasn't as much, at least I haven't gone and looked at the count, but it felt like there was way less play action than what we've seen.
I did 7, I believe. Now, that's unofficial number, but I believe 7.
But here's the other thing, and we haven't really spent this much time talking about it, but Dak was not the good Dak that we've seen, or I should say the great Dak that we've seen. And it's not like he was horrible. I didn't think he was horrible, but he missed some opportunities. And the one that really stands out is Randall Cobb in the back of the end zone. He just, you know, led him too far. But Cobb was open. And then I also think, you know, people are killing Cobb for a couple of, you know, third down catches he didn't convert.
He dropped one he should have caught.
He should have caught those, but they weren't great throws. But he should have caught those. They
on
hit
the,
him in his
third
hands.
And two? Yeah. On the third and two? If Dak leads him, then Cobb's head falls off because he was going to run him right into the quarterback. Him.
Okay.
He couldn't lead him.
And but he should have caught Dak that, I agree.
Dak threw it behind him, but it was on his face mask. It was right. behind him, but right. he couldn't lead him.
Right.
And no one else was open. It didn't look like. You know, it's hard to tell. But
like I'm saying, I don't think Dak was bad yesterday. I just don't think he was the great Dak that we've seen.
I felt like Dak was held back is what it felt like by the offense.
Well, but I also think they just got beat. I mean, they said, hey, listen, some people don't think Lattimore is very good anymore. No problem. We're going to take Amari Cooper out of the game. Good luck. And they did that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, can any of these other receivers beat us? And they couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it was Dak missing Cobb in the end zone or Cobb with the drop or whatever, there was no one else there that could step up and say, yeah, we got you. We'll beat you. And then and I agree, they couldn't find their rhythm. But I think more than it being a conspiracy, although I am curious about why they ran so much, I just think they got beat. They just got beat, and it was an awesome game plan to shut them down. There was a brick wall up the middle. The Cowboys' offensive line got beat. Amari Cooper couldn't get open. And then on the other side of the ball, Michael Thomas converted. 9 targets, 9 catches.
Do you know, think about what you're saying. I totally agree with what you're saying, Ben. If it's as simple as a couple plays, he makes that pass to Cobb, and it's a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Cowboys win that game. New Orleans wasn't going to score any touchdowns. All right, then let's go back to the Witten fumble. They were starting to move the ball a little bit.
The
fumbles at midfield.
Yeah.
I mean, that defense, that Cowboys defense was great yesterday.
Dude, yeah, you were just talking about some of the biggest plays. What about the drives by the Saints? So of all their drives, you know, they start their first drive, they have an interception. Second drive, they have a field goal. Third drive, they had a field goal. That was a drive of 47 yards and 37 yards.
Yeah.
That's it. And that gained 6 points. Then they had a drive of 11 yards, 3 and out. Right into the halftime. I guess they had the 29-yard drive for a field goal. Then after that, they had a 3 and out. They had that 1 9-minute drive, 15 plays, 67 yards. Then they had a 23-yard drive and a 15-yard drive. I mean, the Cowboys' defense was really good.
Absolutely.
They were really good enough to win.
Yeah. And that's why this is frustrating to me. It's because the Cowboys can play this style of ball. They have, and they've won games in that style. It's not an optimum level of playing, and if you're going to play that style of ball, you need to be pretty good. You need to be pretty good all the time.
Right.
You need to convert third downs. You got to do all that stuff, and they weren't able to do that. And that's what's so frustrating to me is why revert back to that? I'm just saying, if it was one thing, if it was just no pre-snap motion, if it was just not interchanging the personnel groups, then I would have an issue. There were like 5 things that were gone away. And that reeks of Jason.
I hear
it does
you.
Not reek of Kellen. I mean, come on. Kellen said it's collaborative. It's collaborative. Well, Jason came in and said, I'm coaching this game. That's what it feels like.
Well, maybe. I'm willing to entertain it. But I do want to say this, put a bow on the defense, though. This is when it's a full team loss. As great as the and this is why the game is so great. As phenomenal as the defense was, as fantastically as they played the entire day, when they needed it most, they needed the defense to step up most, they failed. 15 drive, 67-yard drive, late in the game, you know, that decided the game. They held the ball for 9 minutes of the game.
Saints had the ball 17 of the final 22 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah, and again, go back to what Travis said at the beginning of our show. We just never had a rhythm.
Yeah.
And late in the game, after, you know, the offense is sitting over there, they just finally established rhythm. That one drive at the beginning of the third quarter, they looked like the team that we've seen in the first 3 games, and then they didn't get the ball back for 9 minutes, and then they went 3 and out, 4 and out, whatever it was. So
this is what your point about the wide receiver, too. Like, maybe it was Gallup, whatever. Well, we just didn't know. Like, maybe Pollard and Jarwin can be used. And
I thought Devin Smith could have an impact down the field to stretch the defense. But you know what? They may have had a safety rolled over every time on the deep throws.
All week, Broadus said, I'm not trying to mess with Lattimore because we need to go after Eli Apple. Well, who was Eli Apple on most of the game? He was dealing with Devin Smith. Now, again, till the all 22 film comes out,
right?
Hard to know what was open downfield. Pretty much they were doing a couple cut-ups, though, in the package on the broadcast, and it was a lot of Cooper and Lattimore. And what did you see a lot of? Isolated comeback routes. I'm just saying. Ooh. I don't have any idea. I don't know. But it just, it has the vibe of, hey, man, let me get in here and throw my elbows around and show you that I can outcoach Sean Payton. Okay? This is a tough road game. I got this chance.
What if?
That's what it reeks of.
And what if part of that, too, is that Cooper was compromised? And they knew that they knew that they had a compromise number one and their number two was out. And so they start changing the plan to, well, this is where we're going to make our way.
Yeah, and that could have been, to give you a little, pour some gasoline on your conspiracy fire, that could have been Garrett saying, hey, you've only been doing this for 4 minutes, Kellen. Right. Let me take this, because when your number one and number two receivers are out and you're compromised, hey, we got to do things a little bit. This is a big boy game. I'll take the Sean Payton game. We'll let you get back into it against the Packers.
Kellen handles the adjustments, first drive of the third quarter, touchdown,
yep.
And then back to the original game plan that... I'm just saying.
I know. It all makes a heck of a lot of sense. We'll see what old Stephen Jones thinks about last night's game. He'll join us next right here on 105.3 The Fan.